This is Nothing But Avocado and Orange, written by Moondoll and read by Flower Parish. This is an All for the Game fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Jeremy Knox / Jean Moreau. Abridged summary. It hits Jean one day, standing in the grocery store, that the hem of 5 years ago would not have been capable of conceptualizing the life he has now.
I leave the house as soon as it gets light outside, like a prisoner breaking out of jail. And I steal down to business 15501.
Renee says, a garden cannot grow out of nowhere. You must first create an environment in which it can thrive. Jean says, how can I do that? I'm a ruin, scorched earth, poisoned soil, nothing but stripped bone and rot. Everything I was, everything I am, was taken from me long ago. I am an empty vessel, a discarded toy. There is nothing left for me to do but go away. Kevin says, no, I don't give you permission to die. There is so much left for you to do, so many more things you have yet to experience. We are destined for the heights of greatness. You must not die yet. Jean says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I have been changed to your whims since the moment I met you. How dare you ask this of me? Kevin says, rage at me if you must. Hate me if you must. Call me all the names in the world, but be alive to do it. And one day, at the end of it all, you will know I was right. And so Jean, against his will, continues to breathe. A garden is not only an extension of a house, but a blank canvas, a piece of modeling clay that can be and is used for the art of unique creation. But with a huge range of plants and materials available as possibilities, it can be difficult to know where to begin and how best to fully incorporate various elements. The ideal, in the end, is a harmonious whole that provides a sense of proportion and balance. The key to success is to go with what you already have, rather than trying to change the nature of what you would like to grow. It hits Jean one day, standing in the grocery store, that the hem of 5 years ago would not have been capable of conceptualizing the life he has now. His own source of income, the ability to come and go as he pleases, people in his life that love him, and a lover waiting for him at home. The nest still haunts his dreams sometimes. Wet cloth in his mouth, bites on his neck, Rico's knife against his throat, fingernails digging into his skin. But then he wakes, and lets the force of the morning sun dispel the darkness. He remembered his first time in a Los Angeles grocery store, Kat pulling him by his sleeve. Gleaming fruits and vegetables lined the produce section top to bottom, all colors of the rainbow. It was like that all year round, even in the dead of Southern California's not winter, and Jean still had yet to wrap his mind around how there were no real seasons in Los Angeles, the blasted sun shining brightly in the sky even in the middle of December. Once upon a time, he was a thing that was owned, a tool whose only purpose was funneled into Rico's ownership. That shell of a life could not have imagined even the simple act of picking out a piece of fruit and buying it for the pleasure of consumption and nothing more. But now, Jean sorts through the avocados, looking for one ripe enough to use for tonight's dinner. He has the list of ingredients Kat requested from him, written down by Jeremy on a piece of paper, in his sweatshirt pocket. She and Layla are currently driving down from San Jose today, and tonight they will cook dinner together. It will be reminiscent of Jean's first year at USC, shockingly eventful as it was, when all four of them lived together. There is a strangely satisfying ritual to grocery shopping, he has found. Something soothing, almost, of finding the exact food item he is looking for and placing it in his basket, moving among the other people there for the same purpose, tending to the basic need of finding nourishment to live. He finds the avocado he needs and puts it in his already full basket. He pulls out the list, scanning it to make sure he has not forgotten anything. Kat made a specific request for enchiladas tonight. Under her orders, Jean has driven to downtown Los Angeles to buy the correct type of ancho chilies, the kind that are much better and more flavorful than those found in the average supermarket. As he goes to ring up his groceries, his phone buzzes with a text. From Jeremy Knox, 1423. Image: upside-down picture of Jabberwocky laying on his back, with his paws up and his tongue lolling out. 1423. Remember to be positive today. Jean, unwillingly, snorts. What a stupid picture of the dog, and what a horrible caption. To Jeremy Knox, 1425. Make a pun like that again, and I will block your number. From Jeremy Knox, 1426. Winking kiss heart emoji. Jean shakes his head, but can't stop the small, fond smile forming on his lips. He loves this ridiculous man. To Jeremy Knox, 1428. I'll be home in about half an hour. From Jeremy Knox, 1429. Image: selfie of Jeremy, smiling at the camera with an arm wrapped around Jabberwocky's head. Jabberwocky is licking Jeremy's face. From Jeremy Knox, 1429. See you soon, smiley face. Love you for real. Two hearts. To Jeremy Knox, 1430. Blocked. From Jeremy Knox, 1430. Horrified upset emoji. Jean pays for his groceries and loads them up into the car. He pulls out into the street, a lightness in his chest pointing him, like a compass, in the direction of home. Jean says, I don't know how to live. I don't know what to do. It all seems so impossible, so big. How do I even begin? Renee says, start with something small. Make a list. Plant a seed. Take your time to heal, and one day you will realize that you have grown a garden. Jean says, not here. I can't stay here. I can't grow here. The shadows of the past are too large. Jeremy says, come to me. Come to California. I have seeds you can plant and sunshine to chase your shadows. Come to me and I promise you will heal. We will cut away the rot and fill in your cracks with new soil, prune the dead parts to make room for new life. And soon, you too will be able to make things grow. And so, Jean goes. A strong foundation is essential for any part of a garden in order to prevent an early collapse. The elements of nature, wind, rain, and flooding, can destroy that which is poorly constructed. Don't try to do everything at once. Start small. Spread out projects over years. A garden is not a perpetual site of construction. It is meant for your pleasure. Jabberwocky runs up to Jean when he opens the door. He gives Jean's feet a solemn lick before trying to bury his nose into Jean's grocery bags. Jean toes off his shoes and gently nudges the dog away with his foot. "No," he says, "not for you. This is human food." "Jean!" Jeremy hurries over, almost sliding across the smooth floor in his socks. "Here, let me help you with those." He takes the grocery bags from Jean's hands before Jean can protest and walks them into the kitchen. Jean bends down to give Jabberwocky a few scratches on the top of his head before he follows. Jeremy talks while he unloads the groceries, perishable items going in the refrigerator, and the non-perishable items needed for dinner laid out on the kitchen island. "I'm weirdly nervous about this. I don't know why. They're our best friends. They lived with us for years. They've quite literally seen me at my worst. And yet, I feel like I should be cleaning the house top to bottom like my parents are visiting or something." His smile fades at that. Jeremy's family is still a gaping wound for him, despite the tentative overtures of contact Annalise has made within the last few months. Jean wishes that they didn't hold this power over Jeremy, that he could be spared this kind of hurt. It's the deepest sort of betrayal, your poisoned soil feeding your rot rather than the nutrients necessary to thrive, your own blood and nectar turning on you. Jean steps closer to him, gently turning his face by the chin. "Don't think about them," he says. "Not today." He presses a gentle kiss to Jeremy's lips, a gesture that says, "I'm here. I'm here. You are not alone. Don't worry about anything. You are safe. You are loved." "Why, hello," Jeremy says. His smile returns, like the blossoming of wildflowers. "Hello," Jean says, entranced, and he kisses Jeremy again. The afternoon sunlight beats through the window, and they lose time lost in each other, in the slick slide and heat of skin, hands clasped, and they come to release. "I stopped by Coach's and got you peaches," Jeremy says sometime later, sprawled on their bed. "Your tree there is ready for picking. Here." He swings himself out of bed and walks to the kitchen, still shirtless. Jean takes a moment to admire his back, the hypnotic rise and fall of exetoned muscle. It's a luxury to be able to look without consequence. Kat would give them both so much shit if she witnessed this, and Jean can't help but be a little bit relieved that she and Layla no longer live with them anymore. As much as he misses them both like an amputated limb, it's nice to have a space of his own with Jeremy. "This one is ripe," Jeremy says as he returns. He places a peach in Jean's hands. Jean turns it over, rubbing a thumb over the soft fuzz of its skin. It feels perfectly ripe. Jean will have to remember to give Reman some of his oranges in return. Maybe the next time they go over to Reman and Addie's place for dinner. He takes a bite of the peach, swallowing it and licking the excess juice off his lips. It tastes fresh and sweet, like summer. Jean says, "My sister is dead. My old life is gone. I have nothing. I am nothing. If I asked you to kill me, would you?" Jeremy says, "Don't you ever say that. Look around you. You have Kat. You have Layla. You have me. We are your friends. We are your seed. Let us help you. Let us in." Jean says, "This place is not real. It's a fantasy. A dream. Kindness like this is not for people like me." Layla says, "Who decides that? Who is kindness meant for if not for those we love, if not for you?" Kat says, "Look outside. Can't you see that what you have has already begun to grow?" And so, Jean looks and sees it, the fragile unfurling of a seedling in the summer sun. So citrus fruits require a warm, frost-free climate all year round. They grow best in slightly acidic soil and can be planted any time of the year, though winter months are generally preferred. No pruning is necessary except for the removal of dead wood. Kat greets Jean and Jeremy with exuberance, pulling them down to dole out forehead kisses to them both. Layla gives them both hugs, and then she's tugging Jeremy's arm and dragging them to the couch in the living room. Kat pulls Jean with her to the kitchen, leading the way as though she still lives here. She takes charge of cooking, setting Jean to start cutting onions while she turns on the radio. It's a familiar flashback to USC. Kat sings as she folds the tortillas, pouring the blended sauce on top and sprinkling with cheese. She pesters Jean with questions about his team, returning his anecdotes with complaints about her own job. Something with computers, Jean doesn't really understand it himself. All he knows is that she complains about being the only woman in her office. Jean has missed her so much. The enchiladas are excellent, spicy and warm. They eat them with black beans and rice, topped with slices of avocado. Kat doles out extra salsa on her and Layla's plates. "You white boys can't handle this level of spice," she says with a smirk. Jeremy gasps in mock offense and immediately demands that Kat give him a taste. Jean shakes his head at them both. Layla ignores them all, too busy fussing over Jabberwocky. "Oh, I missed you so much, sweet boy," she coos. "I wish I could keep you with me, but it would be cruel to separate you from your parents." They eat fruit for dessert. Strawberries, raspberries, peaches, and oranges. Layla peels an orange and shoves slices of it into each of their mouths. The sweet citrus melts on Jean's tongue. The open window brings with it the scent of orange blossoms. Outside in the garden, a tree grows. At lunchtime, I bought a huge orange. The size of it made us all laugh. I peeled it and shared it with Robert and Dave. They got quarters, and I had a half. And that orange, it made me so happy. As ordinary things often do, just lately. The shopping, a walk in the park. This is peace and contentment. It's new. The rest of the day was quite easy. I did all the jobs on my list, and I enjoyed them and had some time over. I love you. I'm glad I exist. Wendy Cope, The Orange. The End.
And along the highway, where the empty spirits breed, wild sage growing.